This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
We're going to start this week's show with a continuation of what we talked about last week, when we dedicated our show to the economics of disability and what it feels like to live with one or several and to interact with the economy. A big part of that is work, from getting a job to getting accommodations to do that job. We wanted to take a look now at what that means for employers with David Lewis, president of Operations, Inc., a human resources consulting business. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lizzie. Good to be back with you.
What do employers think, or what do they think about when they're thinking about hiring or retaining people who have disabilities?
It depends on the size of the business. I think the larger companies tend to have initiatives even in this direction, because there continues to be an emphasis, and I think a good one, on trying to maintain a diversified population. I think the smaller companies are utterly confused by this. Even though the regulation has been out there for a while, they don't understand this term of reasonable accommodation. They want to do the right thing, but they're maybe in an old building that didn't have to comply with the ADA. So it still is very much a mystery for a lot of smaller businesses.
Yeah, one of the things that we heard in doing our disability special is, look, this is the law. And yet I think we've also seen some small employers sort of feel like, this is a burden on me. Is there a way to meet in the middle or make it so that people with a disability don't have to, you know, brandish the threat of a lawsuit just for stuff that they should be getting anyway?
Yeah, I think the problem in part is that the federal government, in my opinion, having been out here now 33 years, just hasn't done a good enough job of sort of the frequently asked questions part of this whole law. You know, businesses read this term of reasonable accommodation. They see an individual who, you know, is in a wheelchair or who has a hearing disability, just to give you two examples. And they don't really fully understand what the burden is on them. And in fact, you know, the burden can be relatively light. It's not going to cost them a lot of money, but they run in the other direction because once they start looking at the regulation, they're fearful about what compliance is going to look like, how much it's going to cost. And because they don't understand it, they'd rather just avoid it.
You know, there is this sense in the disability community that businesses either don't know, as you've mentioned, how to accommodate people with disabilities, or that they don't want to. When you talk to businesses, does that seem true?
I think it is true. For the businesses that don't want to, they look at, you know, what essentially is involved in engaging an individual with a disability, and they come to the conclusion that it's just too much work. And listen, the disabled community, rightfully so, is turned off by a lot of this. So they steer clear of a lot of businesses that they feel are not going to either understand their legal obligation, not comply, or not be accommodating enough, and put them in that position where they have to undertake a fight. It's why I think you'll see that the disabled community tends to migrate to larger companies, because they find those organizations are more understanding of the law and more welcome to that population.
One of the things we talked about a lot on the show is language. And I guess I wonder what goes into writing a job description to make it more accessible. And is that a place where you see companies paying any attention?
So the first thing that companies need to understand is that job descriptions are a legal document and are subject to scrutiny as it relates to compliance, and more specifically as it relates to language that could be easily construed as discriminatory in nature. So, you know, with that, yeah, the companies who now have pivoted their direction to at least understand A, what compliance looks like, and B, that they're trying to present themselves as open and welcome to any candidate, regardless of any limitations they may possess, are writing descriptions very purposely without descriptors that imply able-bodiedness or that essentially imply a lack of disability.
If someone is listening to this and they run a company, and I'm guessing here it's probably the smaller company, because as you mentioned, big companies, you know, have been a little bit more inclusive about this. What can they do to go about making their workplace, their hiring practices more accessible? And are there resources they can, you know, read, find, look up?
Go to the professionals. Go to the people who do this for a living on a government level or on the private level. and talk to them and say, hey, we want to engage this population. We want to support them. There are entities that will come out on the nonprofit level who will go visit your site, do a site evaluation, and give you a sense of what is going to work as far as your setup is concerned, who will show you how to get equipment free of charge, who will show you where there is opportunities to use grants that are in the government that are designed to help the disabled become employed, so that it's not nearly as difficult as it seems.
David Lewis is the president of Operations, Inc. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Lizzie.